We are gathered together in the name of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who has come in flesh. Our martyr sister for today, as you can see, is Theodota of Philippopolis. And here is her story. Once I get to it. Although the details are sketchy, Theodota is believed to have been a prostitute in the city of Philippopolis, in Thrace, southeastern Balkans. Does that help you? You don't know where Thrace is. It's southeastern Balkans. Who gave up her profession when she became a Christian. But a greater sacrifice awaited her. In 318, when the local prefect ordered all the citizens of the region, both Christian and non-Christian, to take part in the festival of the Roman god Apollo, Theodota was one of the first to refuse publicly. Her example gave hundreds of other Christians the courage to do the same, and soon Theodota was arrested as the ringleader of the protest. She was cruelly tortured and finally stoned to death. This prayer is believed to have been spoken by her before her death. Notice that she refers to Rahab, a prostitute in the Old Testament, as someone to whom God had shown special mercy. So here's her prayer. I worship you, O Christ, and I thank you that I have been counted worthy to suffer for your name. Let me grasp the greater crown, as you showed mercy to Rahab and received the penitent thief. Turn not your mercy from me. 318. AD 318. Today you see the teaching is listed there as God's benefits and our security. And these are God's benefits. And you have heard it said that when you believe, I've heard some say 45, I've heard someone say 33 things happen to you or given to you, graced to you when you believe. I made my own list here and went through the epistles mainly, and this is who you are. All right? We could put scads of verses to each one of these things. I've given you one verse for each of these ideas. These ideas are repeated. They're gone over many, many times in the Scripture, most of them, if not all of them. So we could put just scads of verses to this, all right? But I've just picked one for each of these 85 things. So you are, one, bought out of the slavery to sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. An object of God's caring dedication. A recipient of divine favor in and before eternal times, because of God's plan to place you in Christ Jesus. You are divinely selected for salvation, pre-loved in eternity past, having foreordination to conformity to the image of Christ Jesus, irresistibly summoned to a relationship with God, having a set destiny to all that is entailed in glorification. rescued from ignorance and destruction, one whose name is written in the scroll of the life of the Lamb in heaven from before the founding of the world, made, declared, and viewed as righteous before God. One for whom the death of the Son of God was designed to save and acquire for himself. The language there is kind of, I'm not satisfied with that point 12, the way it's worded, but I think you understand what's being said here, that the Lord died, not the way he did for everyone in the world with their sins on them, but so as to acquire you, to save you as a member of the elect. 13, delivered from everlasting punishment in Hades and or Gehenna, irrevocably forgiven by God, blessed with every spiritual and heavenly blessing by virtue of being placed in Christ, an acknowledged heiress of God, heiress of all that God materially possesses, graced in Christ Jesus, a receiver of the riches of the grace transactions of God's wisdom and prudence, a confidant of God in relation to his eternal purpose to encapsulate all things in Christ, sealed as owned by God with the mark of his ownership, the Holy Spirit, an acquisition of God toward great praise of his glory, vivified, that's made alive, with Christ, raised and seated with Christ, our representative in the heavens. Other side, number 24. One slotted to receive God's kindness through future ages, created in Christ Jesus for eternally determined and temporally revealed good works, brought near to God and his covenant promises and citizenship, part of the one new man. You are a new creation, having peace with God, reconciled to God, one who enjoys Trinitarian access to God, a fellow citizen with the holy ones in the kingdom of God, a member of God's household, God's family, a part of the temple of the Lord, a habitation of God, a participant of God's promise and purpose in Christ, an operator in faith confidence, a receptacle of unimaginable power, a recipient of at least one spiritual gift, an object of everlasting divine commitment, grace qualified for a portion of the saints' inheritance, rescued from the authority of darkness, positionally relocated into Christ's kingdom, holy before God, blameless before God, irreproachable before God, one having been supernaturally operated upon in the detachment of the sin principle from the soul, buried with Christ in the immersion, dead to the elements of the world, hidden with the Christ in God, begotten anew, born from above to be children of God, inseparably united to God in everlasting security, an object of the compassions of God, consecrated in Christ Jesus, washed clean, made holy, possessing divine knowledge, a member of the body of the Christ, anointed with the Holy Spirit, a letter of Christ, illuminated, part of the Israel of God, in God the Father, because in Christ Jesus, guarded by the power of God, a holy priestess, honored by God, one of a chosen generation, one of the people for God's possession, one of a holy nation, a mercy recipient, an associate of a heavenly calling, an associate of the Holy Spirit, one who has tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the coming age, having a propitiation for our sins, Jesus Christ, of God, overcoming the world, a hyper-conqueror, having eternal life, purified in heart, perpetually completed, a gift from the Father to the Son, light in the Lord, filled in Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and immersed in the Spirit. Now, over against those, you might also be overweight. Now, up against this, what is overweight? And I would have to ask the question, according to who? Who determines what's overweight anyway? Who says what I should weigh or look like? Any one of these things means the universe. I mean, it means just you can't place a value on any one of these 85 things. And all of these things intact, that's who you are. And you might also be not valued by your husband. That pales. That recedes into nothing in comparison to what God thinks of you and what God says you are. So we've got these 85 truths of Christian identity that applies to every believer. We're applying them to women today. And you can even see it in some of the language, heiress, priestess. But with all of this, you might be without a boyfriend or a husband. Does that really matter at all? Does that really define you? I mean, what is that? It's nothing compared to these things. You might be not as pretty as someone else is, or you might think yourself, relatively speaking, not pretty, or whatever you want to call it, beautiful, or okay, I'm not pretty. And I'm possessing divine knowledge, a member of the body of Christ, anointed with the Holy Spirit, a letter of Christ, illuminated, part of the Israel of God, in God the Father, because of Christ Jesus. And 85, you know, 85 things here, and probably there are more. All of these 85 benefits and divine assets are yours. And you don't get good grades in school. What I'm trying to do is to convey a perspective. These are the things that really matter. And then there are other things in the world that world kind of superimposes. It doesn't know about any of these things. Did you notice how many times that in here, we've got God, we've got the word Father, but then we've got the name of the Son, or just the title Son of God. And how many times Holy Spirit is mentioned here? So the Trinity, we're related to the Trinity, and this is what the Trinity says about who we are. So the world doesn't know about any of these things, and as the Lord Jesus Christ put it, the world can't and doesn't receive the Holy Spirit because it doesn't see Him, and therefore it can't know Him, because it only knows on the basis of sight. It only knows based on what they can see perceptively. And we're not, I mean, sometimes it's related to actual physical sight, but usually the sight that we're talking about isn't like eyesight. It's usually talking about things that on the horizontal plane you can put together, or you're aware, you're made aware of certain things. In this case, expectations. What kind of wife are you if your husband doesn't value you? Well, you might be the most fantastic wife in the world, and the problem is with your husband. Human perceptions are not to be trusted. What kind of value do you have? What kind of worth do you have if you're a C student? And let me not contribute to the false imposition of I'm talking like the world when I say a C student. When I went to school, they kind of gave you a simple, you know, this is the way you think of these grades. What are they? They're just letters. But what are these letters standing for? A is excellent. B is good. C is average. I don't think I'm anything great. I was always fine with C's. It's like, I never thought, that's bad. No, it's just, it's normal. It's what it is. But people think it's a C student. You know, it's average. What if I'm a D student? What if I'm flunking out? This isn't where my self-image is gained. This isn't how I look upon myself. The performance that I make, that I do in worldly things, it comes from what God thinks of me, because the Lord Jesus Christ is truth. The Spirit is truth. It's the truth of God. That's truth. What the world grades us as is meaningless. Doesn't mean anything. They're unaware of these 85 things. They don't even have a concept that they exist. Yeah, let's take one of them. You've been selected to salvation. Okay, the world, if they hear you talk like that, will immediately assign a term to you called cult. All right? They always picture cults as the ones that say, we're the chosen of God, and there's this eerie atmosphere to it. If they've heard of it before, they're mocking it. If they've heard of it, they don't know what Holy Spirit is. They have no idea what that is. What, and to them, it's a what. They've no concept of this. Those unsaved disciples of John that Paul met in Ephesus, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we've not even heard that there is such a thing as a Holy Spirit of God. They have no idea what we're talking about, this third person in processional order of the Trinity. They don't know what we're talking about. So they don't know that these 85 things exist. Yet, you knowing them, you can feel the world's superimposition of its standards of value upon you. If you're a certain height, you ought to be weighing this certain weight. I know I'm not as lean as I have been, or if I had my way, I do have my way. I could care enough about it enough to get that lean. I don't care about it. But I'm not. I wouldn't call myself obese. And recently it was a surprise. It's in your contract. I don't care about the contract, but I haven't read the contract. But it's in the contract when you get life insurance, what, 25 years ago? That every number of these years, we're going to check you again and see if we want to accept you. And so this time I don't even vaguely remember you telling me 25 years ago that you would reevaluate me. They asked me my weight, and I'm just too unhealthy to be. I weigh too much to get the rate of, you know, the healthy people, to get their rate. Do you smoke? No. Do you drink? No. How often do you drink? I said no. What do you say you drink? This many times a year, once, twice a month, once a week? Never. I said never. Do you have any disease? No. Taking any medication? No. Well, how much do you weigh? Oh, you're not one of the healthy people. Okay, somebody somewhere said that if you're 5'7", and you're as old as I am, you ought to weigh between this and that. Who says? Who are these people? Who are these the guides of the universe somewhere that say that's the truth? Now, but men supposedly don't care about that as much as women do, but women have this pressure upon them. Who says? Who is the standard? There is no standard, because, like, if we would say, is whoever is the top supermodel today, are they the standard? Maybe they're the world standard, whoever they are. But what is God's standard? God thinks this is so unimportant that he doesn't even have a standard. There's nobody that's set up as the standard. But the world puts these like checks on you, and it will never tell you, ever tell any of us, any of these things that God has just abundantly lavished upon us, because they really don't know even one of them. Then the simplest one, I have eternal life. They'll never tell you that. They'll say no one can know that. But we have, as divine realities, we've got these. Any one of these would be riches, divine wealth, just off the scale. But he's done it 85 times. And then your kids don't excel in whatever it is they've chosen to excel in, or they haven't chosen to excel in anything. Your kids don't make a lot of money if you have adult children. Your kids aren't lettering in some sport. Your kids aren't Eagle Scouts. Your kids, whatever they are, whatever the thing is today. You know, you see those, and if anybody has this, I don't care. I'm not judging you for this. But, like, you see these bumper stickers, you know, my son is an honor student. Okay. Is your son honored by God, is my question. Has God done 85 things for your student, for your son or your daughter? And then if they're an honor student, that's fine. But the idea is that there are these rules out there that you just pick up, usually by insult, usually by put down, usually by media's adulation of people like this. And if you're not like that, you get the message in the negative. You don't stack up. You don't measure up. You're getting my point, right? Any of those things that you might not like yourself because of, or those things that you might, if we're not talking about sin, that's another issue, but any of those things that, you know, I wish my nose wasn't so big, or whatever, whatever. Really, I'm not calling you. I don't know anything that anybody thinks about themselves like that, but really, it becomes really silly, doesn't it? I'm elect, and I'm justified, and I'm glorified. I have salvation with the glory that is in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. He's loving me forever. He's chosen to love me forever. And I didn't make the cut. I'm not on the insurance scale. I'm just too fat. Okay. Is God honoring the other person? Is God honoring the current popular supermodel? Is he honoring her? She's a believer, maybe she is. If what I know of supermodels, though, I would think if you're a believer, you're not a very good one, because I think you're compromising like all the time in that situation. But what matters is the smile of God on a life, on a soul. That's what matters. And while I don't have it on here, and I told you, I'm sure there's more. But one of them that isn't on here that I think about now is what we have in common with Abraham. His belief, and it caused him to be called a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. And I'm obese. And I don't think myself attractive, and the world wouldn't call me attractive either. It's not just I see something different that's in the mirror, and I get lousy grades, and I'm poor, and I don't make, and I don't have any thought. I can't see any way that my financial slot is going to change, and I'm a failure, and the world calls me a loser. And God says that I've already won. I've hyper-conquered already. I've just super over-conquered in Christ Jesus right now. And I have the option of being an overcomer who reigns in the millennial aristocracy at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, perspective. And not accepting the world's notion of either what you are or what you should be, that is a security. If I have personal security, then I'm not getting flustered. I'm not getting rankled over somebody's expectation. Some creature of dust has expectation for me. What if it was you're married and, or you're not, and you have a boyfriend or something. Or you're really, according to the world, just undesirable because you don't have either. None of these things matter. But anyway, let's say you had a husband, and your husband was not spiritual. So, he walks by sight as relates to you. And he has a problem with how much you weigh, or the fact that you're getting older and it has to show, or that you have gray hair, or whatever it is. None of these things to a spiritual person are unattractive. As a matter of fact, to a spiritual person, especially the gray hair thing, to a spiritual person, that's like a rank of honor. If you're thinking with the Proverbs, there's nothing spiritual though about judging people by their appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance. So, evaluations that are surface are human and therefore terribly carnal. So, let's say you had your husband thought in that way and was was free to tell you about it. You need to lose weight. You're not as attractive as you used to be. You need to do this or do that. Or why don't you start going to the gym? Or you've got this is a very unspiritual husband. You understand? This person who's saying this is not thinking with God at all. But let's say that's how it is. Look at who you are. And look at who's saying what you are here. When we have listed as the title on our customer sheet here, God's benefits and our security, I'm not talking about the security that we have, like, that is commonly called eternal security, or what I prefer to call everlasting security. That is our security with God. I'm talking about a personal security because of God. How secure of a person am I because of my belief in what God has said about me? You know, I know none of you will do the couple of you have, but not for long periods of time like I'm talking about. When I used to be very much more visible at the university than I am. People are forgetting me. If you half of the student body over there, if you talk about the Oak Grove preacher, they don't know who you're talking about because I haven't done the open air in a couple of years. Okay. When I used to do that regularly, and you know, you always have people who are cowards because they do this in the crowd. Some are brave and brazen, and they come up to you and tell you personally. And either way, personally is supposed to be, I guess, more intimidating. But they would yell things at me, or they'd yell at me. All right. This, like, utterly doesn't faze me. I'm saying, I've got this. You know, say it's the summertime, and the sunlight, it's hot, and the sunlight is coming through these windows. And you know when you can, like, see the sunlight come in like a beam like that, like you can actually see the track of the light coming in the window. And outside of that track of light you can't see it, but in that track of light you see how much dust is in the air. You see these little squiggly things that are next to nothing. I mean, they're thin as all get up, but and they're so light that just, you know, my moving my leg that way causes enough wind current, and it goes another way, and then and they're always falling. Like, do they ever hit the ground? But, like, you see these things in the sunlight floating through the air. That's a human being there. That's the human being that's yelling at me in the Oak Grove. Behind, he's the person in front of me. Standing behind me is the immense, transcendent, eternal, omnipotent God of the universe. It's like, I know this is my support base back here. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are supporting me and what I do. And then I got a dust speck in front of me who's making a lot of noise at me. And this is going to mean something to me. When I have things in perspective, this is going to mean something to me. The dust speck, though, that's yelling at me in an evangelistic situation, I'm never going to see this person again, probably. Even if I do see them again, they got that off their chest, they're probably going to talk to me again. But when they're doing it, we're right in the midst of it. I don't care. But when that person is someone who is supposed to love you, when that person is someone who has spoken along those lines, what if it's your children? And your children are disrespecting you and maybe cursing you out and saying so. It hurts then because of relationship. But as much as it might hurt, it doesn't determine reality. We don't speak truth into existence. We're not gods. So what they're saying comes up against the 85 divine pronouncements that God has said about this is who you are from my perspective. And his perspective is truth. This is who you are in truth. I'm not going to allow my self-estimate to be gauged by anyone but God. No one but God gets to say who I am and what I'm like. And as women who are sisters of the body and daughters of God, but physically still in the world and assaulted with the same kinds of propaganda from the darkness, you make that decision on a regular basis. You make that decision all the time. I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to accept that truth. And the security that comes from believing the truth makes it possible and makes it easy. What, and maybe I do this prematurely, what are you going to take away from this time? Category 3, applications, so as not to become a forgetful listener. James 1:25. What decisions will you make in response to today's truths to use this doctrine in practical ways? And maybe you get something of those application points from our conversation more than just from what I'm teaching. So maybe you ought to even be writing those things as something resonates with you that one of your sisters has brought up. But you can be writing that. Like, what do you take away by way of application, by way of practical use? What's this going to mean? What are the implications here? Write down those things that you don't want to forget. You want to make them action points. And at this point, I'm just going to not maybe give a lot of time for that. You can do that. You can do two things at the same time. What are your thoughts here as we transition into dialogue?